Welcome to the Unit Care Podcast, where we discuss issues of relevance for unit owners and body corporates. This week, we're talking about pet problems with Unit Care's Managing Director, Gordon Russell.
Some people, actually, tenants or owners, move in with a pet and never ask permission. They don't know they have to ask permission. And then somebody complains about the pet, and then you end up with a first-rate argument over it. There's an increasing movement now for pets for mental health. You know, studies that are showing that pets can be very helpful for people's mental health. An awful lot of, a very large percentage of the people who live in units, community or strata title, are single people. So pets can be important for their sense of well-being, companionship. Nonetheless, you need a permission to keep them. And if people haven't applied for it, you're on the wrong foot. Increasingly, because of the number of investors we have in units now, I think it's around 80%, tenants are moving in with pets, wanting pets. And of course, an application goes in. It takes some time for a corporation to decide on it. Some misguided corporations have policies which say we won't have pets at all. So they've got these blanket policies. The courts have ruled against that. So you have to consider each application on its merits.
So what are the rules and regulations in South Australia? Because I understand other states, the convict states, many of them actually have quite well-defined rules and regulations around pets in strata situations.
Well, strata is different to community titles. Strata titles have a model set of bylaws which say you've got to have consent, which means the management committee can make that decision, 3 days notice to have a meeting, or a general meeting, 2 weeks, can make an application for a pet. In community title, it's a bit different because the community title has a set of bylaws which are not defined. So there is no model set of bylaws. So a group may have a policy which says you can have a dog as long as it's under, so many kilos, or a cat, whatever else. Or it may be totally silent. And if it's totally silent, my understanding of the Community Titles Act is it's carte blanche. You can have a pet, you can have an Alsatian, as long as it complies with the local government bylaws.
What's the most unusual pet that you've had to deal with?
The most difficult one was a very large dog that was kept in a backyard that was colour bond fencing. And the dog was fine while the owner was there. They'd go out to work and it was just miserable and it would just bark. And it was a big, hairy dog. It's a lovely dog, big dog, but in the wrong circumstances. And the chap kept making excuses. So he said his brother was dying of cancer. There's all sorts of reasons that he gave for not doing something about the dog. We ended up taking it to court. I think it's the only one where I've taken an owner to court over its pet. It was the Elizabeth Court. He didn't turn up, got 21 days to remove the dog, and the dog got removed. And I felt sad for the dog, actually, not the owner, but the dog was really suffering, and that was unacceptable.
What about situations, you mentioned companion animals, but guide dogs, they're not just simply pets, they are actually germane to someone's well-being when they have a disability. Is that a different state of affairs?
Working dogs, I'd call them working dogs. You cannot not allow a working dog in a community or strata title. So if somebody needs it for their disability, they don't have to ask permission. Well, I don't know if they don't ask permission. The corporation has no right to not approve it.
What about issues of smell? I can recall one situation that I was in, that the main problem with the pet in the strata title that I was in was that it was just creating an awful smell.
Well, both acts talk about nuisance. So if a pet's causing a nuisance, and that's usually why people complain about a pet. They don't usually complain, oh, it's got a cat. Did they get approval for it? It's they've got a cat and it's causing a bloody nuisance. It's urinating all over my yard, or it's making a nuisance at 12 o'clock at night, howling away, whatever it is. If it's causing a nuisance, their nuisance is covered. And it's a general complaint and you can take it off to the authorities. You can serve a breach notice, and if they don't do it, you can go to court. So nuisance is a general thing. So you could have a child that's causing a nuisance. You could have nuisance music, nuisance parties. All of those come under that general heading.
I would say that if I was in a strata situation and someone else had a cat, because I'm highly allergic to cats, that would be a nuisance. Would I have a case?
There's you as the individual and there's the body corporate. So if the management committee said you need to serve the breach notice and said get rid of the cat, you didn't have approval, then the person would have a right to make an application And if they supported, the community supported your case, which was you're allergic to it, they didn't get approval, we want it out, then you'd have some force at law. If you, as an individual, said I'm allergic to cats, they moved in without approval, well, you could be even they got approval and it moved in and you're allergic to them. Don't know how that go in the courts. I'm not sure about how that would go. They might say, well, you need to take some antihistamines or something. I have no idea, but it would have to be seen as a reasonable complaint. The courts could overrule the corporation's approval for the cat. You'd need to have a doctor actually verify that it's really a big nuisance. That the owner could be required to keep it inside the house so that it wouldn't cause you a problem. I remember a case where we had an older woman retired up in Blackwood, had a blanket policy against pets altogether. I knew the real estate agent, we'd basically grown up together. So I invited the prospective owner to come along to the meeting, talk about the dog. I think they brought the dog along, the photographs, etc. And on an individual basis, they said, oh, well, the dog's lovely. It's, you know, 11 years old or whatever it was. It sits in front of the fireplace most of the time. It's not a nuisance. We'll love to have the dog. So the owner bought the place. Everybody won. And she became the treasurer. There was a valuable member of the community who was not going to be there if they'd abided by the no animal policy.
We've been talking mainly about cats and dogs, but there are other pets. Birds, for instance. Any problem with birds?
A cockatoo at 5 o'clock in the morning on a summer's day can be a really serious nuisance. We've had those. You know, some people have argued that, you know, a goldfish is a pet, but I think in terms of the act, I think a court would actually just throw that out. If it's a potential to cause a nuisance, I think that's where it comes in. So, yes, a galah or a cockatoo could be a real problem. A pet magpie, probably not. But yes, the parrots can be a particular problem.
What about something more exotic? Supposing I kept venomous snakes. There are people out there who keep venomous snakes. They keep to themselves. They make not much noise. They don't escape. But if one did escape, I imagine that could be quite a nuisance.
The Strata Titles Act talks about dangerous substances. I think a magistrate, and I always think about magistrates and what they might say because I've had quite a lot of experience in the courts. I think a magistrate might use the common sense test and say, that's a bit dangerous. If it was a python, would it be as bad as if it was a venomous snake? I think a venomous snake people would be far more anxious about than a python. But I think any thought of venomous spiders or snakes in the house next door, and if I had children, I'd be very anxious.
Okay, so let's just bring it back into normality. I'm a dog owner. I'm looking at moving into a community title or a strata setting. What do I have to do?
You have to make sure the body corporate will give you permission for the owner. And the best way to put that is take photographs, sign off that it's been vaccinated and de-sexed and all those things that might give people comfort, that you won't let it out of the yard, that you'll take it for regular walks. I mean, some people have small horses for dogs, don't they? We need to make sure that it's not going to cause a nuisance. It's well exercised, that it's going to be looked after and isn't going to cause a nuisance to other people. It's had all the tests done, complies with the local government regulations. I guess giving comfort to the people who are going to be around it, that it's not going to be a problem. Have a look at our fact sheet.
Gordon Russell, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thank you, Paul.